All right, everybody, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. This is your host, Hunter McWaters. It's good to be with you. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Pedro Ampuero. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, how are you?
Good, man. So tell me your full name. I'm kind of confused. What's your full name?
Pedro, that's my name. And then the last name is de Ampuero. But okay. In Spain, we have both.
I thought I saw like mother. De Castellanos or something. Is that something?
Yeah, Castellanos is my mother's last name. So in Europe, in Spain, we keep the father's last name and also my mother's last name.
Gotcha.
So everyone knows who your parents are.
Okay.
It's not like the mother will adopt the husband's last name or something. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, yeah, man, it's good to have you back. We did a podcast together a while ago. And I know you've been super busy. Like, I don't even know how you do it, man. Like, every time I look at your social media, you're on a different continent doing, like, something. So what have you been up to, man?
Yeah, so we arrived last Monday from Argentina. We have been in the Andes hunting for red stag. So in the southern hemisphere, the red stag rat is right now in March, end of March. So the same as in New Zealand. And we did a one-week hunt with my father on a horseback. Super nice. Cool, like a lot of stags, high altitude stags, sleeping in like without a tent or anything, just moving with the horses. So awesome. Pretty Western type of hunt, which I highly recommend you guys. Now that is like a low time for you guys in terms of hunting season, that hunt in Argentina in the mountains, super.
Were you down like super far down to the south or what part of Argentina?
From Buenos Aires, so from the capital, midways, so it's in the border with Chile, so right up in the mountains.
Nice,
so,
man. Yeah, super, there's tons of cool hunting opportunities in Argentina, like even for waterfowl or dove. Lots of cool stuff down there. That's definitely on my bucket list. And you are kind of like, if people don't know you, you guys should go check out Pedro's YouTube channel. He's like an international man of mystery. Like, there's no mystery, but you're all over the place, man. Like, you're in Tajikistan, you're in Pakistan. Do you know how many different countries you've actually hunted in?
No, but a bunch.
Well, yeah, a bunch. And then
in Tajikistan, we were in last December, and we are just releasing the episode that we're hunting ibex and also wild boar, and it was a super cool trip too. Right in the border with Afghanistan. So there was a river, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it right, but Panj River that divides Tajikistan and Afghanistan. So we were basically hunting, watching all Afghanistan.
Wow.
So basically we tested the rifles on a military training facility. They were testing, how do you call, like the aerial shooting for planes and all that. They were testing that in right by camp. So we were watching in the afternoon, like shoots. Like the cameraman that we just hired was like, I'm not sure if I'm, I don't know if that's, this was explained in the contract or not.
Yeah, I saw the first one you did from that hunt, and it was super, that country looked insanely rugged, man.
Yeah, it's super steep. Yeah. And now with the temperature change and the, I don't know if it's the climate or just the cycles of life, but like the winters have been delayed in general. So there's barely no snow when there should be like tons of snow. So animals were super high.
Yeah, I remember that. So yeah, guys, check out his YouTube channel. Tons of cool stuff on there. I think you've shot some record animals too, which is great. Did you shoot like a world record ibex or no? Is that the Mongolian wapiti?
The thing with the bow is not that complicated because some of the animals that we are shooting, maybe no one has ever shot or there is only a few. So ever shot with the bow. So beating records with the bow, it's easier. Well, it's not easier because like you have to do it with the bow, which some of them have never been done. So
that's maybe even cooler. Yeah, so he does almost everything with archery. So some really cool stuff, guys. He's a great hunter. So what I wanted to do, so giving people a little context, if you don't know, my TV show last year, I had two different episodes on my interview-based style episodes, which I'm actually probably not going to do those anymore. Next season, season two, is going to be all hunts, but that's a side note. But I did one episode with Brian Call, and I did another episode with Remy Warren, and just by chance, you were in both of those episodes. So I was like, I need to like connect with this guy, and I got to ask his permission to put his face on American TV. So I reached out, and you had no problem. You were super cool about it. Then we did a podcast, and then you invited me to come to Spain. And so people, if you're listening, don't invite me places unless you actually mean it, because he invited me and I said yes. So here we are. So
I'm the
I'm
same way, so when I invite people, it's because I mean it, so.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know, man. Because over here, like, I feel like Americans a lot of times are like, yeah, you should come do this. And, like, half the time, people don't actually really want you to come. They're just being nice. But anyway, he's been super gracious helping me get this trip planned. I'm really excited to hunt with Pedro. But today, I want to, both of us are busy guys. So we were talking before. We're I want to do a podcast, but also, I had some pre-production kind of questions. That folks out there might find interesting. You can kind of be a fly on the wall for some of those questions I have for Pedro. But I want to start off with just kind of an overview of the plan, and then I want to ask you a little bit about the species, because the species we're going after, I know almost nothing about, and I'm super excited. So, first of all, the general plan, you probably don't even know because you're all over the world, but I'm flying in the first week of June. I got a direct flight into Madrid. And then I'm assuming somebody's going to be there at the airport waiting for me. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be me.
Okay, cool.
So I'll pick you up in at the airport. But
Okay.
Madrid, Spain is a small country, so I think it's the size of Texas as a reference. So just like from the bottom south to the north, it's like a 10-hour drive. So it's not like huge country. And Madrid, the capital, is right in the middle. So it's a great place for connecting. You will be in a hunting area between 2 or 4 hours, you will be in hunting area. I mean, like half an hour from Madrid is hunting opportunities, but like
Cool.
you can be anywhere around the country in a 4 hour drive, which is pretty short for you guys, so,
Yeah.
or for what
Okay.
you guys are used to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So you're going to pick me up, and then are we going to drive straight to the hunting area? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I'm not sure at what time do you land, so we can either spend the night at home
I think it's
if
like
you
middle of the
wanna.
day because my flight's a red eye.
Okay, so if it's middle of the day, we're gonna be in hunting area in like in 3 or 4 hours. So I think we will drive over there, and
Okay.
we'll probably sleep in a hotel that I'm not sure if we're gonna. It depends on a little bit on the weather, how it is, and also how tired you are. So either we sleep in a hotel right in the town where we're gonna be hunting, and then the next day we go and try to camp on a hut, or
Okay.
we do it straight away. So it depends.
Okay.
I think for having the amount of time that you have, I think it's better to take it easy so
Yeah.
you recover from jet lag and you enjoy the
I
whole
agree.
experience rather than just like going pim pam pam fast. But
Yeah, I agree. I usually like to have like a little bit of time too, because you kind of got to go from like airplane mode into like hunt mode. So you got to like shuffle gear around. You know how it is. This year in Alaska, we got to the boat launch and we had like an hour to go from like the commercial airline to like, okay, we're dropping you off in the wilderness. So probably, and yeah, it'll be an overnight flight. So I think probably that would be good to have that time to kind of shuffle gear and maybe rest up a little bit and then hit it the next day if that's cool with you. But the
yeah,
other thing I
I
wanted
cannot promise anything, but we'll see. Like,
to
because
Hey, I'm
then
flexible.
we, you know, there's so much stuff to do in Spain at the same time that also, like, depending on the weather. Like, last time I was hunting with a couple of friends from America, I don't know, like 1 month ago. And the plan was kind of the same. Let's take it easy. But, like, the weather forecast was, like, horrible. It's like, we need to go right away,
Sure.
try to make the most out of the first day. And we're glad we did that because the other days were like super foggy, rainy, snowy. It's like,
Yeah.
thank God we like took advantage of that
Cool. Well, yeah,
early
man,
part of the
like,
trip. But in June should be good.
good. Like, so just so you know, man, I'm flexible. I have had the blessing of being able to travel around the world a lot, so I understand. Things change, plans change. I understand, like, I don't know, sometimes Americans come to other countries and everything's got to be the American way, but I want to go and like experience Spain the Spanish way. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
No, and I think you have time because you have I think you probably have more time than it's needed, but I think that's a good thing because it allows you to go less stressed. Because sometimes I think outfitters try to push hunters to accomplish certain amount of species like in a really short window of time, and that takes you out a little bit of the experience because at the end you go to a place you need to kill today because tomorrow you need to go in a car, go to a different area, shoot a different ibex. Then move, and at the end, it's like compared to the opposite that you like. What I like to experience in, on hunts that is like I'm gonna go for a week. I'm gonna have time, and I want to spend a full week of hunting and enjoy one particular animal. Here in Spain, sometimes outfitters drive the hunters to do the opposite, like to try to get a bunch of species. And also, it's some part is not fault of the outfitter. It's also the clients that want to get certain amount of species and animals in a short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I remember because speaking of species, so we're going after, okay, I know it's chamois or chamois. What do you say?
Rebecca, no, someone.
Chamois?
In
Okay.
Spanish, is Rebecca, yeah.
What is it in Spanish?
Rebecca.
Trabeco?
Yeah, Rebecca. Chamois, I think, is how it's pronounced, the proper way to pronounce it in French, which is a word, it's a French word.
Okay. So
Someone.
we're going after those first, and then we're going after roebuck. And I remember even thinking, I think we have 3 days to hunt for a chamois and then 2 or 3 to hunt for roebuck. And I'm used to planning like you, like 7 to 10 day trips. So even that, I was like, okay, you sure? Like, okay. But we had talked about, when I say I'm going to Spain, everyone's like, oh, you're gonna go shoot an ibex? And we talked about why we chose to do this, and I have my own reasons, but talk me through some of the reasons why you recommended actually doing it like this as opposed to doing the ibex.
So the most iconic or the reference in Spain will be the ibex, the Spanish ibex, which will have four different subspecies of ibex. And they are gorgeous. It's an amazing looking animal and probably is what most people come. But in my opinion, in terms of mountain hunting, the king by far, and all Europeans will tell you the same, is the chamois. And actually, like
Oh, nice.
that's a chamois for me, it's the chamois, you know, like so in my office. I only have chamois because for me it's the pinnacle of mountain hunting because they live by far in the most rugged terrain you can find in Spain and in Europe. The higher in elevation, tougher terrain, most beautiful places is where chamois live. And also I think in terms of how tough the animal it is, how brave, how wild they are, it's like for me it's the most beautiful European species that you can hunt. And on the opposite, their trophy, it's small. So like I don't know, this will be a chamois, this is different. This is from France. So this is from an alpine chamois. So the trophy, it's small and tiny, which I think it's the cool thing is that people don't hunt it for the picture or for the trophy at their home because no one cares about having this at home. No one is gonna get into your house and be like, oh wow, that's a chamois. No, no one's gonna. Only the true mountain hunters appreciate that tiny trophy. But I think it's cool because it's the representation of what a mountain animal is, with the filter of having a small trophy that only the people that appreciate the hunt and the chase and the scenery are gonna be able to appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too, I mean, roebuck is a very iconic like European species. Maybe not as much French, I don't know, but I mean, sorry, Spanish, but it just as a European hunting species, that's probably maybe one of the most iconic as well. And then also this allows us to basically for the same cost as an ibex hunt, you can do what we're doing, which is a chamois hunt and then a roebuck hunt. So for me, that's two different species, two different types of terrain, two hunts in one. And what you just said about the terrain where the chamois live, that's kind of what was exciting to me about it.
Yeah, I think you get from one hand two complete different experiences, which is cool because we have the chamois, which we can hunt them in the spring, It's not that I had this prepared, but this are always in my office.
That's
So
an
this will be
awesome buck.
a roebuck. A roebuck. It will be, if I will have to describe it will be like the European whitetail,
Yeah.
because it's the animal that it's more spread all around Europe. It's the animal that everyone can afford to hunt. Everyone hunt them. So it's something. It will be like our whitetail for you guys,
Yeah.
but our whitetail, it's only 45 pounds, so they are very small.
Wow, 45.
And yeah, so they are tiny, so they are very small. Like people is like, no, the coos deer, I was hunting coos deer in Mexico in January, and the guy were like, no, the coos deer is like the roebuck. Like no, it's like three times a roebuck. Like a roebuck is literally tiny, so like the body is like just like, I don't know, 10 inches the
Wow.
height of the body, you know. Like, so they are very small. They look bigger in person than what they are when you shoot them, but they are really cool. And it's the only antler, I think, deer species that you can hunt during the spring in the
Okay.
world, because I don't know if I told you last time or not, but like they have a cycle that the rut is in July, so they drop the horns, their antlers, they drop them in November, so they grow
Interesting.
the antlers in March. In March, it's when they are rubbing the antlers, taking the velvet off. And in April, the 1st of April, like last week, is when the season opened, and they are all of them hardhorn.
Nice.
So it's super cool to be able to hunt deer during the whole spring, while the rest of deer species like red stag, fallow deer,
Yeah.
they are growing their antlers, and you hunt those from September to February. So we can hunt deer all year round here.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's one of the cool things too about this trip is I usually try to do kind of a spring or a summer trip, and it's just nice to have some different opportunity in a different part of the year. So I want to go back real quick to the chamois and just kind of talk about the species just a little bit. So I think I read something that said it's like it's not a mountain goat, it's not an antelope, it's sort of a kind of almost a cross between the two. Is it its own thing or is it in a different family of animals? Like, what is
I don't know. I should have prepared for that question, but it's rupi capra in Latin. So it's a caprina species. So a capra, a goat species.
Okay, so it is a goat
But
species.
yeah, so it's not an antelope. It's true that it looks like a, I would say, like it looks like an antelope, and it has the horns, look like a mountain goat, but it's just a species of goat,
Yeah.
which basically it's all around Europe, the whole European continent.
Okay.
So it goes from this, I think it's like 11 or 12 subspecies.
Oh,
So
wow.
depending on the mountain ranges, they have developed and they are different. So the one that you're going to be hunting is the Cantabrian. So in Spain, we have two subspecies, and the Cantabrian is the smallest, both in body and horn size. So if you compare that to a Carpathian chamois from the Carpathian Mountains that is in Romania to a Rebecca, there might be like 15 pound difference on
Okay.
body, or maybe more, or 20 pound difference in body. And in horn also there is like a big, they are bigger, heavier. So there is a proper differences between the different two species. And you find them all the way from Spain, all the way to the Caucasus Mountains in Russia and Azerbaijan, and also in Turkey.
Oh, wow, okay.
And the ones you find in New Zealand, they were actually brought from Austria. So
Okay.
from Central Europe, they were brought to New Zealand.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people have seen chamois hunting in New Zealand, but may not recognize or realize that they're a European species.
Yeah,
Have you?
you have a couple in Spain, you have three different species in France, Central Europe, so it will be like the king of mountain hunting all around Europe.
Nice. Have you seen the movie Heidi, the new one?
No, the new one. There's a new one.
Yeah, there's new. It's really good, actually. Like my wife
Yeah.
turned it on, I was like, "Oh, really?" But it was like really good. Anyway, like there's one part where the old
But it's
man.
movie or drawings
It's a movie.
or cartoons. A
Yeah, it's a
movie.
movie. Anyways, this little orphan gets taken in by this old man. It's his grant, her grandpa. Anyway, he comes to town and he like throws this animal, and it was a chamois. I was like, "Oh, it's a chamois! I'm gonna hunt that."
Yeah, that's
Anyway.
the Alpine chamois, which is
Yeah.
very typical. I think Heidi was from Austria, right?
Yep.
From
Yep,
Tyrol.
good movie. Check it out, guys. So You've been hunting these things your whole life?
Yeah,
Yeah.
more or less. Yeah, like since I was fit enough to go with my
Right.
father, but I think like since I was 14 or something,
What kind
because
of like, go ahead.
physically it's demanding, so it's not like a hunt that you can do with 6 years old or 10, you know.
Right.
You need to be able to keep up.
And these places, it's all private land, right? It's all owned by people.
So there is two. So it's either private lands, there are leases, so it's not private. So it's a lease from the town, but each
Okay.
town manages their own hunting rights.
And they have like a
And there is also like,
gamekeeper.
well, the, no, that you put the gamekeeper.
Okay.
Like you, but you lease the, so I don't know what town do you live, but if you live in, I don't know, whatever town you live, that the whole properties and land from that town that belongs to that town, they lease the hunting rights.
Gotcha.
So those private tags or landowner tags are from people that have leased those hunting rights. But
Okay.
there's also public areas that are managed by the government, but there is no public access. So they typically auction the tax. So it's not like the state that, well, there's some tiny bit of the tax that are like on a lottery ticket or whatever, but this, the general thing is that most of the tax are auction, public auction, and you go there
Gotcha.
and you are like public auction and you get the tax.
Okay.
So you have both. And when you go on the government areas, you go with a gamekeeper from the government that
Okay.
supervise, tells you what to shoot, etc. But we're
Gotcha.
gonna go on a private lease.
Have you hunted this area before?
Yeah,
Okay.
many
Pretty good
times. I
spot.
love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think like for it limits the whole area, limits borders like a government area. Like so, all the borders. So in the government areas, the management is not very aggressive. So the fluctuation of like big males coming in and back and females and all that, like it's amazing. So like for a private area, the quality of game they have and all that is just amazing.
Nice. So do they hang out mainly like above tree line, or are they in the timber, or both?
So both, but that time of the year, way above tree line,
Okay.
like way above. Maybe in the winter they come lower, but we're gonna start hiking probably already almost above tree line.
Okay. And
So they're gonna be high up.
you mentioned like the yearly, so what's like what's kind of the yearly cycle for these things, like as it relates to the hunting season? Like, you kind of went through it earlier with the roebuck, but like, what's going on like during the year as far as their cycles?
So the roebuck is the one that it's way different than everyone else because the when the doe gets pregnant in July or August, early August, when it gets pregnant, like the tiny baby, I don't know the technical words in English, but like the tiny baby of
Embryo.
a few, gets frozen for like 6 months
Yeah, I heard that. That's
and does
crazy.
yeah and doesn't develop at all. And when it starts back in, I don't know, in January or something, the cycle starts moving forward in order to that baby to give birth in the best time of the year, which is the spring, as the other deer species. But that's why the cycle of the antlers is opposite to the most deer species, is because that special thing about freezing the embryo for
Interesting,
a
yeah.
certain amount of months. But the Samoa will be like any other goat species. So they give birth also during May. The rut is typically November, and they never drop the horn. So
Okay.
basically, yeah, during the spring, during November, they move a lot. So like it's, for example, for bow hunting, I don't like the rut because they are crazy. Like they
Yeah.
will be from one point of the mountain, they see a black thing, and in 1 minute they cross, they run 10 kilometers and they are like nothing.
Yeah.
So it can be a very frustrating, but the springtime, it's great in that sense
Okay.
because the like early spring, like the food is growing on certain areas where the sun is heating, and you know, like so, they don't have the bucks are with the bucks, the does are with their do together because they are like giving birth, so the bucks don't care about the babies or anything,
Yeah.
so they are separated. They just focus on feeding, going to bed. Feed, go to bed. So they are very easy to pattern. The days are very long. The weather is very nice, so it's a very nice time of the year to hunt.
So they'll be in batch,
While
the
in,
males will be in bachelor groups then. Okay.
yeah, they can be alone, but they're gonna be, depending on the groups.
So
And
is
during the
it,
spring, they get
sorry to
very
cut you
white.
off.
The hair will be like very white, and during the winter, they will be very dark. So you will see a big difference from the Samoa that you have seen in movies or in New Zealand, that they are like super dark. Here, they are gonna be like reddish, whitish
Oh, cool.
type of color.
Nice. Okay, so is it, and some of these questions are probably going to sound really dumb. I just don't know anything about these things. Is it difficult to tell male from female?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, I would say it's very similar to mountain goats in that
Okay.
sense. Like the how difficult it can be a male of a female. It can be very obvious if it's a big male and a clear female, but there is some females that can get longer than male, but they are thinner, the body is different, you cannot see the pencil of the back. But during the spring, summer, the hair is way shorter than during the winter, so it's hard to see the harder to see the pencil because the hair is not that long,
Yeah.
so it's not easy.
Gotcha.
And I think every guy that has hunted someone long enough has made a mistake sooner or later,
Yeah.
shooting a female thinking it was a buck, or shooting a buck thinking it was a, because it takes time.
But it's you. It's legal. It's legally okay to kill a doe as well, or do you get in trouble?
Depending.
Okay.
So like depending on the areas and all. So some areas it just like doesn't matter the sex, but
Yeah.
typically it matters the sex. It's
Okay.
true that most outfitters and most areas you have tags for males and females.
Okay.
So
So
like, and sometimes even the game officer, I have been in on one hand that I was not the hunter, that the gamekeeper was the one that made the mistake.
Okay.
So
So how do you tell when one is big?
it's like any other animal. Like when you put the binos and it's big, you know it's big.
But could you
So
show me
like,
like a big, or do you have a small one up on your wall that's that you could I could compare?
yeah, the thing is that it's not about like the, let me, one second, I'm gonna grab something from so it's not that much about the length, but the thing is that here it's two different subspecies of Samoa. So this is a
Okay.
Rebeco, and this will be a Balkan Samoy. So you see the difference in thickness between the two different species. And it's not about the just the length. So it's just how you measure them will be like the length, the width, and also how much hook it has and the thickness. But in my opinion, the most important thing and the only important thing is the DH. So what you are trying to look is to have one with a lot of age rings to have an old
Okay.
buck. So
Okay.
for that, it's really hard to see the age because like they have the first rings, they have them covered with the hair. So it's like the same as a mountain goat. So it's very hard to age an animal. So you are like checking the body shape, the how the behavior and all that to try to age it, but that will be the most important thing. And one of the cool things about our measuring system is that we give points and score to the age of the animals.
Oh, that's cool.
So it has an important part of the scoring system of the European way is the age of the animal. So that
Okay.
will give you points.
So obviously you're probably looking for mass, length, the hook, the width. So like for example over here, like a whitetail, I might look for like a big like a round belly that might show the buck is a little older, the neck size, or there's some what are some characteristics you're looking for that might show an older buck?
So like the body shape, so like how the body is shaped, so like the chest, the back, also the hair sometimes can help, like the coloration depending on the time of the year. Like really old bucks will get really dark during the rut, and also their behavior, and also like when you put the spotting scope, you can see depending on the face, like they also get more gray. So it's really
Okay.
hard, but I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. And I wouldn't be like for me, like I would look for an old buck rather than if it has like a, because the difference of the length is just like half an inch from a good one. So it's like a mountain. I think it's exactly as a mountain goat. So like the difference in length is going to be 1 inch, but it means more to shoot an animal that it's 8 years old than a 6 year old like with excellent genetics. So
So an 8-year-old, that's an old one.
yeah, 8, 10, they reach
Okay.
to 12, 14.
Cool.
But it's true, like in the Cantabrian, like the pressure is so big that I think so anything above 8 is already like a
Cool.
really nice buck. But the thing
Nice.
is that Samoa with 3 years old has grown 90% of the length of the Hornets with 3 years.
Okay.
So
How's the
the
meat?
differences are small. It's good. It's great.
Good. Can
Yeah.
you bring meat to home from America, or is it like too hard?
No, I think it's, you can't
Oh, dang.
because it's
Okay.
you cannot bring organic.
Yeah. Okay.
Organic, but we will try it when you're here.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the amount of meat that these animals have is like the same as roebuck. Like you can literally feed you like it's small. Like the backstrap of a Samoa is like
Yeah.
this deep. So.
All right, we'll have to try some over there. All right, so after we kill our giant chamois,
Chamois.
then we're gonna take a road trip. And so where are we going after that? You tell me.
So we're going to a different area of Spain. So we are from the Cantabrian Mountains, which is, I don't know, like mid west north Spain. We go to the northeast part of Spain.
Okay.
So to Teruel, which is like the best area probably for hunting big roebucks.
Okay.
So the terrain is going to be like way different. Like it's going to be like rolling hills with forest. I think like farming areas, you know, like we're going to completely change areas,
Yeah.
type of town. So I think it's going to be a cool change.
Yeah. So is it agricultural and they're like coming from like a whitetail, like from woods into fields, or are they going to be, is it more like natural grassland habitat, or what's that kind of like?
In that area, I have never been into that area. Samuel has never allowed me to go
Oh,
because it's only
okay.
for like VIP.
Ooh.
So
I'm getting the
I don't
VIP treatment.
know yet how it's gonna look, how it's gonna be, but
Yeah.
it's gonna be a mix. So like the areas I hunt, it has a lot of agricultural area. I think for where we're going, there's not that much agricultural, but it's gonna be a mix between agricultural, normal grasslands, wooded areas. So, and also like big roebucks right now, the biggest roebucks are on territories that they don't look deer friendly. So they're in areas that don't have as much wood and as much agricultural as you may expect. Like whitetails, you will be looking like for, I don't know, like Illinois, like big farmlands and big forests.
Yeah.
So the big roebucks now are in expansion areas. So deer, when they are expanding their territories, always the strongest, healthiest bucks are the ones that are exploring, and they have like bigger territories, so they go grow themselves bigger.
That's cool.
So those areas have lower density, but better quality, and they are in areas that 10 years ago there was not a single roebuck.
That's good. So they're, I guess they're doing well, huh?
Yeah. No, they're thriving because a roebuck, it's a very territorial animal. It has typically only one doe or two does. So like they defend themselves a lot. So when there is a lot of competition, it's a lot of stress for them.
Gotcha. So
So.
will we be, you may not know, but will we be kind of getting to high points and glassing kind of thing, or hiking around?
It will be a mix.
Okay.
So the with roebucks, it's super important, and that time of the year is not the best time to hunt roe deer because it's like right when they have a slowdown from marking territories, that it's in April, May, where they are like feeding, they are like moving a lot. In June, they are like slow down because the temperatures are a little bit higher, and they are like getting ready for the rut.
Gotcha.
And also, like, the females just gave birth. So the females have been very slow. So it's a hard time. So it's super important to make the most out of like the first half an hour of the day and the afternoons.
Gotcha. It's kind of like
So it's gonna
hunting mule
be,
deer in October around here.
yeah.
Okay. Are you
So
gonna hunt too? Are you gonna get one too? Or try?
yeah. When you shoot one, I would try
Nice.
to shoot a bigger one. No, I would try to
Good.
shoot another one
No,
because
good, man.
roebucks are a lot of fun, and I think I'm excited to hunt that type of area because where I hunt is really close to my house. The quality, the quantity sucks. Like
Yeah.
people think that I have like amazing hunting areas, but I don't. But they are very close to my house, so I can go very often.
Yeah. That's
So
cool, man.
like not today, but like if I finish today and I have time, I go and in 45 minutes I'm in my hunting area. So,
That's awesome.
well, it's not mine and now we're lease.
Right. Right. Okay. So again, kind of the same question I had there. We kind of hit most of it with the Roebuck, but talk to me. So I mean, obviously you're going to want to look for mass, but just out of curiosity, like what are you looking for in like a nice mature buck?
So a mature buck will be anything above 5 years.
Okay.
So like they get really big already with 3 years old, three, four, like you will shoot like a gorgeous buck, but you try to look for 5 years or older, which is hard because it's hard. And especially deer species are hard to know the difference. And what you look like this one probably was shot too early.
Really?
Because it's an amazing buck, like it's one of the biggest one. I think it's the well, no, I think no, it's the biggest one I have shot with my bow, and it's gorgeous. But so one of the things that we use to age the roe deer is the angle of the. Do you call these pinnacles or not? How do you call
Pedestals, I
this?
think.
Not pedestals, the bottom part of the
Oh yeah.
anchor.
I don't know, to be honest with you, what we call
How do you
those.
call the basis
Oh,
of the anchor?
the burr. I think some people call
So
it the
here,
burr. Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. So every year when they drop the antlers, they lose a piece of bone. So this will get closer to the skull, and also the angle drops a little bit.
Interesting.
So the older they get, their bases will not be so flat, will start angling down.
Okay, yeah, because I've seen some on Instagram, like some just ridiculously giant ones, and like the bone structure on their eyes is like different. Is that from that?
So like no, they just start losing bone here. They start dropping down, so the bases is
Yeah.
rather than being up and flat, they start angling down.
Yes. I was
So
wondering about
I don't
that.
have any good examples here, but like happens the same with red stags, and I guess that it happens the same with whitetail. So a very young whitetail will be like, or red stag will be like flat, and as they get old, they just like
Yeah.
that thing will get
Elk
closer
is like
because
that
they
too.
drop. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's
Okay.
one of the things that we try to look a lot. But it's
Yeah.
true that it's a small animal. It's not like they don't give you time. So like you
Quick.
have to be fast. And because they are always moving and they are always like it's a type of animal that they spook from themselves. So like they will be like super nice and silly, just like they start running. So you cannot spend an hour watching
Right.
a
Yeah.
deer. Sometimes you do, but like,
It's kind of like whitetail, just like the same. You got to kind of make the decision. Like that's what I was. It was funny when I was like hunting with all these guys out west because I'm used to. I grew up hunting whitetails, and you have to like you're saying, you see it, and you got to decide in like 30 seconds, am I going to shoot this thing or not? So it's more of like a feeling. The guy, you know, the guys out west, they'll spend like an hour like dissecting every single like antler point. Like, does he carry mass out on his G? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just like, he looks like a nice one, man. Let's go for it.
yeah, no, and like, and the truth is that sometimes you don't know what's best for the management because, like, the scoring system or what we consider a trophy deer, we are actually shooting them at their prime.
Right.
Because, like, when the bigger it gets, a deer, the most at its prime it is. So, like, when it goes after the prime, the trophies get start getting smaller. It's not the same as Capra species that the older they get, the bigger they are.
Right.
So what is better, to shoot a giant 6-year-old at its prime, or should a 3-year-old that still hasn't proved to be a massive roadback and hasn't proved to be good at managing territory, at having the right dose? So I'm not sure, like, if shooting the best looking, unless you shoot a really old one, you know, that it's just like obviously old, but the trophy is smaller or whatever. So with these species, I'm not sure what is the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's interesting. What's it's like what would be for both species, I guess, what would be considered trophy score?
I don't even know.
Don't
Like, yeah, because you guys work with SCI, so we work with CIC, which is completely different. So I'm gonna tell you, I don't know, like, I think the bronze medal of CIC in Samoa, it's like 85,
Okay.
but I'm not sure if it's gonna mean something to you. So, like, but again, like, the difference of a gold medal and a representative, it's gonna be like, on a Samoa, it's gonna be this, and on Roebuck, volume
So
makes
they're
a big difference.
scoring
And that,
mass is the biggest thing with
so
Roebuck.
actually, the Roebuck, since they are small, we measure the volume. So we
Okay.
put the skull under the water and check how much difference the weight of the skull has changed to put them under the water, and we calculate the volume.
Okay.
Archimedes, no? How was that? Or it was Archimedes, or who was
Oh.
the one? I don't know, but yeah.
Don't
But basically, we calculate the volume, so we have the volume of mass.
Yeah. Okay.
In red stags, since they are so big that you cannot do it on a, you need a pole to basically measure that. They measure the weight of the whole antler and skull. But
Gotcha.
here we put it on on the water to check for volume. So, like,
Interesting.
the more mass in general it has, the better.
Yeah.
But
And
we
I've
also
seen like.
measure the length, the width, the bases.
So, like, what's that one measure?
That's a gold medal, but I think it was like 140 something,
Okay.
which is very big. But
Yeah.
there is, like, now in Spain, we are producing, like, if I produce, no, but like, the land is producing the largest roebucks in Europe. Like, I think we have the world record. It was shot like 2 years ago in
Oh,
Spain.
nice.
So
Yeah,
I'm
you can
close to the
see
area we're
online
going.
those things. They're like, it almost looks like the antlers are so big, they've like just gone into one giant antler.
So it's very often happens with roebucks that I don't think it happens with other deer species. What it's called a perrique, which is an animal that they have got an accident in the testicles, so the testosterone level is not big enough to drop the velvet.
Yeah,
So
we
they
call
don't
those
stop
cactus
growing.
bucks.
Yeah, so they don't stop growing.
Gotcha.
So that's why, like, they just start getting, like, it's very weird shapes and thickness and all that, because they just, like, and some of them, like, have antler dropping in over the eyes. Do you
Yeah.
guys have those with whitetails or not really?
Yeah, well, they're called cactus bucks. I've never seen one, but like my friend Brady shot one this year in Mexico. Yeah, it's same thing. Like maybe they get their testicles, like they catch them in a fence or who knows. And then yeah, the things just keep growing. They get all weird and they never drop the velvet. And like yeah, I've seen that. I haven't seen it personally, but we have those. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, what is that? Pedestal you got those skulls on. I like that thing.
Yeah, my taxidermist did this. So
Okay,
for, like,
he made
for
that for
some
you.
special, yeah.
That's
So for
cool.
some special animals, for
Yeah.
Europeans, it's really. So.
Those look great, man.
Yeah, and actually, I like also, like, for, like, compared to the traditional rounded, a brown wooden thing that all the Europeans put the trophies, like this flat white super stylus. My wife approved this.
Yeah, with the broadhead,
So,
that's cool too.
yeah.
All right, cool, man. That's kind of what I wanted to know about species. I'm sure I'll ask you a million questions when we're there. Half of them you probably won't even know, but do want to move a little bit the discussion, just kind of on some details with the production side of things, and if we need to edit stuff, we can. But so. First thing I would ask about is photographer. Are we gonna be have someone you know, or do you know
Yeah,
who
that's
yet?
the guy who works for us.
Okay.
So we
And
have Tajikistan. Tajikistan was filmed by him.
okay. Does he do stills and video?
Yeah,
Okay.
we do both.
Sweet. And
It would be
I
important to know what you want, and if you have some episodes that you have filmed that you like, it would be interesting to that if you can send them over. He
Yeah.
has to quickly check. I don't think it's gonna be highly, I cannot expect that it's gonna be highly different from what we're doing,
No.
but I don't know.
Sure.
Just to make sure, I don't know how, like, we are terrible with planning. Like, we don't do scripts, we don't
No,
plan
I don't do that
we're gonna
stuff
film.
either. No, I don't do that
Yeah,
stuff
but
either.
like we're trying to be better because I think it gives you a little bit of peace of mind when you know, like, I have this completed, I have the introduction, I have this, I have that. So like when you are
Yeah, that's true.
filming, you don't over film stuff, but we are trying to figure out how to do it better, because if not, I feel like we always have the feeling that we haven't filmed enough.
Yes, that is true. Or sometimes you get
So
home and you're like, oh, dang it, I never did like a good introduction thing, or I never did a good closing thing.
of the
So,
species, or
yeah.
and also I think it's interesting in this one that you think about what you story you want to serve. So personally, how I feel is like it should be two completely different things, like the Samoa hunt
Yes, it
and the
will be.
Roback. You I don't know if you want to mix them or not, but like I think it
No,
gives you enough content
it'll
to
be two
have
separate
to.
episodes.
And how long are they typically? Like 25 or
22.
22. So 22 is super short.
Yeah. So
So
normally
it's.
what I'm doing now is I'm doing a TV edit for the TV show, but then I'm also either working with a young editor here or doing my own longer kind of version for YouTube.
Okay.
So in that episode, in the YouTube one, I can, do more like vlog style stuff, just have more freedom. But then I'll have the 22-minute episode that's pretty slick, just kind of bang, bang, bang,
Yep.
And I'll definitely do two
Yep.
episodes. I'll do one for the chamois and one for the roebuck. Do you think you will also make edits for your channel?
I mean, I would like to do one from the robot.
Yeah. Okay.
For the Samoa, like I have, like my wife, I will release a video of my wife hunting Samoa in
Yeah,
that
I saw that one.
area.
That was good.
I don't know, like 3 months ago,
Yeah.
last year we did another Samoa hunt. So I think I have that hunt, like more.
I
So
gotcha.
I think it's better that you do it yourself, and if you like for YouTube also, like you just do it. Rather than releasing the same hunt, both of us, I don't think it makes sense. For the roebuck, since I'm gonna try to also hunt another one, I think it makes more sense. It's a content that Europeans like a lot. I have never hunted that area, so I would like to
Good.
do our own edit,
Yeah,
if
perfect.
that's okay for you guys.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm happy for you too. So yeah, just so you're aware, so obviously video, but a lot of my partners are very interested in stills. So maybe we can talk to, what's your guy's name?
Roberto.
Roberto? Okay. Yeah, we can talk to him. But yeah, I'd love to get pretty good amount of still stuff. And what does I can ask you
So on
off
the
air, but
stills,
let me
like,
know what he charges so we can settle up on that.
yeah, so like the stills, it's a matter of like you telling us,
Okay.
I don't know, what you want. And we focus of like focus on this brand, focus on that, and if there is like a time of the day that is like slow or whatever, he typically takes stills as we go some, but also like when you are focused more on video, it's hard because now we are
Sure.
filming with two setups, so we are filming with the 7S3 more video, which the stills are not as good, and so I don't know.
Cool. So
But I think it
I
will be enough for you to share what type of hunt and story you have, and if you have any sponsor that you want to highlight, just let us know. Okay, we wanted this, and
Sure. Yeah,
we
so
try to
I
cover
shoot on
that.
the A7S III too. So, and that's what I wanted. The next thing I wanted to ask was, I definitely will bring one camera, but should I bring my other long lens camera, or no, you guys have one?
I
Like
mean,
a.
like we have two bodies. Well, we have four bodies, but like we typically film with two bodies. So it will be the A7S III, which will be the main video camera, and we have the 7R4, which will be this main photo camera, which also takes video because we
Okay.
film everything in S-Log3, 10-bit, like
Okay.
do you film S-Log or not?
I stopped because I like shooting natural. Honestly, I hate it. It's a pain in the butt. I feel like I don't shoot as well. Just I like seeing it in the camera more natural, and then also I feel like it's just I'm just adding more work for myself in post. So I stopped, and I'm happy with not doing it. Do you shoot in log?
We are trying to do that now,
Okay. Well,
which is it
that's
has been
fine.
recently from this year, so it's a little bit of a pain. But also, like if you fuck up the lighting, like the amount, like you have almost the full range of. So what
Yeah.
it doesn't make sense for me is to film in like on those flatties or flatter, like flatter profiles. Because you get like that grayish and a little bit of correction, but actually you are not getting anything. And what you can do now on the 7R3, you can do the gamma assist. So you
Yes,
see it, which helps a little bit, especially when you're focusing an animal or you want to be quick or whatever. But it's true that if you are filming yourself, it's just a pain. It's another thing to have in mind. But
So I have a Sony 2-600 with a doubler lens. Should I bring that?
200 to 600.
Yes, with a 2x teleconverter.
Like, I think it's worth carrying.
Okay. Yeah.
We
Cool.
have a 600, which is super heavy.
Yeah, so is this thing.
But I think, like, the longer lens, just in case we want to, I don't know, maybe you kill early and we want to get some footage,
Sure.
some animal footage, and we want to split, or I don't know.
Yep. Sounds good.
Or
Okay,
since,
weather. Like what kind of clothing should I bring?
so it's gonna be nice weather, like not warm, like not like I don't know in Fahrenheit, but just I think it's gonna be like 20, 25 during the day Celsius, and during the morning it's gonna go down to 10, 15. So it's gonna be like bear
Often,
hunting.
okay,
It's like
cool,
bear hunting in the spring.
nice.
So,
Okay, I already asked about the
also
meat.
all the heavy stuff that you need, ask me because if I have two,
Yeah.
don't bring it. It's gonna be extra weight. So, like when we get closer to the date, if you tell me, I don't know, like should I bring another tripod? Should I bring maybe like I have another tripod, or should I bring a spotting scope? I have a spotting scope, so.
Okay.
Like if you want to bring one, you could, but like,
Yeah. Now I'll definitely bring like binos, but I'll leave the
binos, yes.
spotter. I'll leave the spotter and we'll use yours. I'm not gonna use your rifle. You know that, right? Okay. And what about like sleeping stuff? Like should I bring a sleeping bag and a pad or
We'll see. Probably the sleeping bag, maybe yes. A pad I can borrow.
okay.
I can lend you one.
Okay.
It's true that people that I have lent sleeping pads have not been very lucky because half of them are always like flat.
Yeah.
And no matter how much I fix them, they are like flat. So maybe it's worth carrying one, but I don't know how much baggage allowance do you have, but
Yeah, I got a pretty big bag, so and since I'm not bringing a rifle, it'd be pretty good. Okay, well, as far as like other detailed gear questions, I can just shoot you a message on WhatsApp if I need to ask you something. But man, I think that was pretty much it. I mainly want to get on the same page with the photographer. Oh, And then you can just let me know like what his day rate is or whatever, and I can just like bring a check for him. Does that
Yeah,
work?
we can figure something out. I'll give it a thought, check how many days or whatever it's at the end, and we
Okay.
can split. If I'm gonna use some of the thing,
Yeah.
also I'm happy to cover some.
Sure, yeah. I mean, maybe like on the Roebuck we could split it or something, but I can cover it for the first half since you're not hunting.
When do you have like the release dates, or what do you have
Yeah, so this will
any
be part
like?
of season two of the show. So this will probably come out probably Q maybe Q3, probably Q4 of this year. So like this winter, fall. And then the YouTube versions will come out around the same time or a little after.
So when do you think more or less that we could have the rollback thing for us,
You
or
can do
when
it
will you
whenever you
think
want.
consider?
Whenever you want.
No, but like I don't wanna.
You won't.
It's just more for planning and to be
Oh,
able to put it on a.
yeah. It
So if
re
you say like I rather please try to wait after this or try to like for the Samoa, I'm not interested. So like
Yeah.
you can do as much with that as I'll help you promote the video and the release on YouTube and all that.
So have you found it's better to, like when you and Joe both released films from the same hunt, did you find that it was advantageous to do it like at the same time or staggered?
I don't know. It's
Yeah.
hard to tell because we don't know the
Yeah.
how it will have worked the other way.
My initial reaction is I don't really have much opinion. You could kind of do it whenever you think is best. I mean, I don't see any huge advantages. I almost feel like it would probably be better if they were like separated, because if you release them at the same time, it's just people aren't probably going to watch both. So maybe if you release yours like pretty early and we kind of both promote it, and then we kind of get a second run, like I can put mine out later and kind of we can both promote it a little bit too.
I mean, like for me, it will make sense for the rollback either to release it like super quickly, like in July, because there's still rollback season. But in October, for example, it's gonna be like, because we are all like already like the same as we filmed the Red Stag hunt now, and I'm gonna release it, you know, like in September, because
Yeah.
it's when the red pe people are thinking about red deer.
Right.
So like for me to either we do the rollback right away, which I don't think is going to be a complicated edit because it's going to be 3 days rollback hunting, or I don't know, or then I don't have much of a rush.
I
So
say just do what you think is best for the video from your perspective and just do that.
whatever, I'm happy. So like.
Like the better it does for you, it's good for me too. So you know more about YouTube than I do. So I say just do what you want. If you want to release it right away, just go for it. And then because I'll release mine down the road later, no problem. So yeah, just go for it. Let her
Okay.
rip.
Yeah, I think for us, like July will be good because still people are hunting roebuck.
Yeah,
So,
that'd be cool. I'm fine with that.
and the thing that I'm gonna be filming for roebucks this year with the bow, I'm not gonna release it until next year because I'm using a new bow. So, like, I cannot
Okay.
do anything.
Are
So,
you gonna bow hunt on this trip?
no,
No? Okay.
it's not like the best time of the year. It's not an area I know. We are three guys, so I'd rather do something fun between friends, hunting roebucks and being together
Yeah.
and sharing both shots or whatever, hunting together than just like being the pain in the body, like with the boats. No, no one moves, you know, like, you know. So
Yeah, sounds good, man.
I think it makes more sense. Like,
Yeah. Okay. I think that pretty much covered stuff from my perspective. I'm sure more stuff will pop up and I'll send you messages, but I'm really excited, man. I really appreciate you inviting me over. I know you're busy and you got tons of stuff going on, so I really do appreciate you taking me
no, don't
hunting,
worry.
man.
For me, it's a pleasure. I
Yeah.
like sharing. I like showing what we have over here. So I
Yeah,
think you're
man.
going
And
to
I want to
enjoy
experience the whole
the trip.
Spanish thing, man. So just, I'm game for whatever, so just bring it on, man.
The cameraman is like, really? This guy, this American guy, needs to come when there is like one big day on his town where there is a big party. And he's like, he needs to come. And he's like, maybe if we finish early, we cross by his town. He's like, maybe Hunter needs to experience a
Hey.
Spanish traditional party between the Samoa area and the Roebuck area because we cross by the town. So he's like, maybe depending on the time, he
Yeah.
needs to experience the whole Spanish
I'm down, man.
culture and food and party and all that
I
stuff.
love all that stuff, man. Like my other great passion besides hunting is travel, like international travel. I've loved it since I was a kid, so I love all that stuff. I'm down for anything. Yeah, man. Anything else for me or?
No.
Okay, cool, man. Well, I
No, like
appreciate your time.
we'll talk, and when we get closer to the race, if you think a little bit about what you want, send us some content, send us what type of products you want. I mean, you can even tell us when we are here. Like it's gonna be easy just to have in mind whoever you work with or whatever. Or like if it's the opposite, like we don't work with this brand, so try not to super highlight it, although you can then cut it up whatever you want, but
Sure. Yeah, I'll communicate all that stuff to you guys, no problem. And yeah, we'll be in touch before then. But appreciate your time, man. And let me know if anything else comes up from your end.
yeah, sweet.
All right,
So
man.
looking forward to have you over here.
Me too, man. I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome.